levantaré mi bandera, alzando mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, oh.
Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. No, no, oh. Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento.
Welcome, everybody, to the Latin Babbler Show, brought to you by the new Wafi Media. I am your host, Rafael, the Latin Babbler. I am here alongside with my amazing co-host. Miss Rocky is joining us. We got Paula Garcia from Paula Knows Something and Daisy Tornell from Cafecito con Daisy. Today's guest is an extremely popular Mexican-American DJ, songwriter, producer, who has worked with talents such as Chris Brown, Pitbull, Steve Aoki, Diplo, and has many appearances in Tomorrowland, Coachella, Lollapalooza, Paro Cabile, a World Cup Dome in Germany, performances in venues like the Shrine Auditorium, Marquee Nightclub in Las Vegas, and the official Super Bowl after party of the Los Angeles Rams and more, with most recently EDC Mexico 2022 that was back in March. He will be headlining the halftime show of the Mex Tour in Dallas on May 28th. Welcome to the show, the infamous D'Oro. What's up, man?
What's up? What's up, you guys? Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me.
Yo, I'm crazy. I was looking at your Instagram. I was looking at some of the stuff that you were doing. You got everybody popping. I mean, there are crowds that are just jumping and popping to your music.
Yeah, man. The goal is to you know, give everybody some good cardio. And
cardio. Oh, man.
To give everybody some good times, you know, to give everybody you know, a good night, or depending on, you know, what time I'm on, you know.
I'm curious, as a DJ, like how many do you work, like 7 nights a week, or do you get time to rest?
This is the best way to put it, is whenever people have time off, that's when I'm working, you know. so like spring break, usually it's where I get the most busiest, you know. Summer, obviously, that's when I'm never home. But you know, lately it's been picking up. You know, I've been blessed to say that, you know, my it's back up and running, you know, the whole entire, like the runs, the tours, they're pretty much back to normal already. So
very cool. All right. So I have a question, because we have a lot of guests that have different stories and different upbringings. Are you first generation Latino?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
What was that like? Where'd your parents come from? Like how they.
So mi papá's de Guerrero y mi mamá's de Guadalajara. So, you know, we grew up in a Spanish household. And all my English, I got it from school, you know. So, you know, I was really lucky to grow up with that pretty much still around me, you know. Like I still, everything, anything that has to do with family was like quinceañera, primera comunión, you know, like just like straight culture, you know. So that was it turned out to be one of the biggest blessings, because later when I started questioning like my career, you know, and asking what else do I have to offer? You know, it was just like in my face, you know, the culture was in my face. It was like, you know, and I was just like, damn, you know, like, dude, I have a lot to offer. What am I talking about? You know? So it was a blessing, you know? So, yeah.
I question, because of the fact you mentioned the quinceañeras and things like that, was your family like very, traditionally cultural? Like, did you carry that on? Like, are you carrying that on?
Yeah. So I am. And I think I'm doing it because it's beautiful, you know, cause like, you know, like we're going to, like me and my fiance, we're going to have a very, very, very Mexican wedding, you know? And, you know, cause to me, there's something about it that it's just, it's like, you know, if you're going to quinceañera or a boda like that, like you're going to have a great time, you know? And I think that's something that, yeah, of course I'm going to keep that alive, you know?
Inspiration growing up, your musical inspiration, tell us about that.
So I come from a very, very different background when it comes to my music. I like Bob Marley was a big inspiration, Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, and then even like Rage Against the Machine, Sublime, you know, like
Rage Against the Machine.
yeah, I'm telling you, man. I wanted all my friends, I wanted to be in a band when I was little, you know, and like none of my friends knew how to play their instruments. So I learned every instrument and then I taught them. And then it's like, I was really dedicated. I really wanted it to happen. I didn't realize how dedicated I was until I got older. And I looked back and I was like, man, I really wanted this to happen, you know? you know? So, yeah, my music comes from all different kinds of music backgrounds.
Did you get a lot of support, like, growing up for what you're doing?
You know, what's funny? Obviously, my dad, you know, he wanted me to stay, you know, to stay in school and do all of that. But I look back now, and it's not like there was a lot of tension. It was like he was really cool about it, but at the same time, I think what it was is that I respected him so much. You know, it's not that he was strict. It's just I really respected him a lot. So, but I look back, no, man, I've always been given the love and support. You know, I do remember my dad getting really upset when he'd wake up at 4 a.m. to go to work and I'd still be up on my computer making music, you know? You know, but I was just like, I think, and I remember one time that was different. He like woke up and I think he was fed up and he told me, you know, he was just like, I just want you to go to school. And I remember, I guess I responded to him. I told him, Dad, like, I really love what I'm doing, you know? And it was always different after that. I think he recognized that, cause dude, like I would think I was like in middle school, you know, and I was really passionate about something like that. I think he recognized that. So, I mean, again, I've always had a lot of respect for him. I think he's always trusted me, you know, and, you know, I got lucky that I have always had that support and love from family like that.
So I read that in one of your interviews, you actually considered going to med school to help fund a better life for you and your family, right?
Yeah, I did go to med school. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got like a CNA. I became certified nurse assistant. Like I was in scrubs. I was in there. You know? I was in the hospitals. Yeah, I was you know, taking care of the old people. You know, turning them over, wiping them. You know, I was in there.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No, but
more so when was the moment you decided to go into DJing? Like, what was it that you said, oh, this is it?
So that moment wasn't just, it was about a year and a half, that moment, you know, like it wasn't just like an overnight thing. It was a question I was asking myself for a year and a half. I already had, you know, my kids and they were just newborn. And I was really like, I just wish, you know, there was, I could just go up to someone and say, hey, what should I do? You know, it wasn't like that. It was, I had to really figure this out on my own. And, it was a lot of trust and gut, you know, and it's scary because you're like, you know, you have the power to make the decision, but what you're afraid of is making the right or wrong decision. You see, but that, I think what it was about making whatever decision I chose. It was about making it the best decision, you know? And I think that if I would have chose, you know, the medical career, I think I would have made the best out of it, you know? But the fact that I feel like the medical career was always going to be there for me. I went with music, you know, I was just like, I'm going to try music first. And, you know, if worst comes to worst, you know, medical will always be there. I already had my connects, you know, like I was really well connected. People like the nurses loved me where I was volunteering. So I was just like, I feel like they'll always be there, you know, so.
So what does it mean to you to be a Mexican-American DJ in today's day?
Man, I feel like, you know, for the majority, like when I'm playing in places like when I'm like, when I'm like deep into Canada, you know, where it's like, I'm not really like in the beginning, it was just like, I'm playing this music. I was like, I felt like a bridge. Like I was introducing people and I would know how to do it. It's not like I would just be like, boom, here's Mexican music in your face. You know, take that. Nah, it was more like I'd play a little bit of cumbia and mix it up with some EDM at the same tempo. So nobody has to really change the rhythm, you know? And like, I would do that in the beginning, you know, and over time to see that now I can play like in Edmonton, like the furthest in that I've gone into Canada. And now it's just like, I pura raza, you know, it's just like, I'm just like, damn, where all these Mexicans come from? You know, like, this is just like, and it's so cool to see that, you know, like I feel like, that like, you know, man, when they're out there and then, you know, they just, you could just feel the love, you know, and it's just like, they're just really proud. And I'm just like, man, like, I'm just one of many, you know, like, I'm really hoping I'm opening the doors and to these new artists that are coming up, you know, and now I'm seeing a lot more, you know, Latino artists that are starting to put more of our kind of sounds into the music, you know, and that's cool. Cause it's like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm an example. You know? So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Did you play any of your instruments con las abuelitas y los abuelitos in the hospital?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't. You know, I there was a moment where I wanted to take my guitar, but I wasn't good enough yet to play like that. But yes, there was a moment that I wanted to, and there is a music video idea that I have that I do recall someone using that to rehabilitate people. You know, so, and that's something that I that's probably one thing that I could use to connect both worlds, you know, my music and in the medical field. Cause I know a lot of people would appreciate, I remember seeing someone take their guitar one time. There was a ward and there was a section in the hospital, and this guy would come in like once a month and he'd sing, you know, and I was just like, damn, that's cool.
Music is healing. Awesome.
100%.
That's amazing. So, we mentioned earlier that you started producing your own tracks at a very young age, and you know, you went on to have like a backup getting your CNA. What, when you started, I read that you started around 14 years old playing at local gigs. Were you at like family and friend events, or were you up in the club? No.
So I was, there was a long time ago where I couldn't go into these clubs, right? But no, so my dad, he tocaba la guitarra y él cantaba, he sang so he would play music and then he'd sing a lot of, like, if he didn't have a song, he'll just sing it, you know? So usually this is literally how it started. So usually around like June, where people started graduating, you know, the families would have little get-togethers for like, you know, whoever was graduating. And then I would be there and I'd play a little bit of the younger music. And then those same kids would come up to me and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Tomorrow I'm going to have my party for my friends. You know, we need a DJ. So I was just like, cool, I'll be here. You know, so I would ask my dad if I could borrow his stuff. And then I'd come back the next day. I'd do the same exact house. But then it'd be your younger kids. And then that's how I slowly started getting my foot in to be being a DJ with, like, you know, with the younger crowd in my city. And then, with time, I also started, finding out that, like, there was clubs, local clubs, and, the way to get into those clubs was by handing out flyers. And I think I handed out almost a million flyers when I was, you know, 17, 18, because, you know, I loved getting out and I loved networking. So that was my thing, getting flyers handed out. And there was a lot of flyers that I handed out to events that I wasn't allowed in because I wasn't old enough, you know, but still, I grew the relationships, and like, that's really what helped me out a lot, you know?
At what age did they let you DJ at the club?
There was some that, like, they kind of was just like, look, as soon as you're done playing, you got to get out, you know?
Yeah.
And
they're sitting there watching the IDs. They're like, hold on a second. Yeah, we got to get this one out.
There was a couple 18 and over clubs I played when I was 17, but I played like right before doors open. You know, they were just like, got to get out. And it's funny because a lot of the clubs that I really wanted to go to that I had heard of, there was like this club called Heist here in LA. And I always wanted to go to it, but I was never old enough to go. And then by the time I became old enough, it's like I had got booked for it. You know, so it's like,
oh, that's
so
cool.
It was pretty cool how it turned out. You know, it's like, wow, like this is Heist. You know, like, wow, this is what it's like. It's cool. You know, I remember I wanted to be here like 4 or 5 years ago.
Pointed though, when you got there, you were just like, it's not what I thought.
But the thing is, I only because it was no longer Heist. It was some other club, and I know like when they used to do Heist, they used to like deck it out with production, you know? So I knew it looked a lot nicer, you know? So, but I was just like, cool. Like I used to be outside, you know, like from like 8 PM till 2 AM handing off fires, you know? So, but it was cool, you know?
Without Guyo, your story, main reason being is because we talk a lot with like comedians, celebrities, actors, things of that nature. And one of the things that we, you know, have common ground is that in the Latino community, they just don't push their kids to kind of go into the creative fields. And so I'm just like really happy that at least, you know, regardless of the friction that you get, because we all get it, it doesn't matter which, regardless of the friction, your dad was like, you know what, I'm going to completely like go with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was cool.
And you know, I feel like because he was a musician himself, you know, it wasn't like I wasn't tattooing or nothing. I wasn't doing something completely off. You know, he was just like, well, it is, you know, music, whatever. But the thing is, you know, and I was struggling in school, man. Honestly, I don't even know how my dad put up with me. but bro, like for me, like, you know, I have a still to this day. I always thank him, you know. I was like, look, Dad, honestly, like, you know, I always thank him, you know, because, you know, I am him, you know, just all over again. And, you know, he gave me the opportunities and everything that I've been blessed with, you know, I've blessed him as well. And, like, you know,
yeah, that musical talent, it passed down, bro.
For real.
That musical talent. Yeah, it's crazy. So now you were announced to be featured during the halftime show at the MEX Tour. That's in Dallas on May 28th. Es La Federación Mexicana de Fútbol will be playing against Nigeria. And you're actually producing the anthem. How did that collaboration come about?
So man, I mean, like, I gotta give big ups to management, man, because obviously, you know, we all grew up watching Los Partidos, you know, and I've always, you know, being involved with the Rams, I think, kind of like opened the eyes up to management and everything. I'm really open to being involved with sports and stuff. And we had the connection with the international, with the whole Somos Locales. And, you know, when they were just like, you know, how would you like to come out to play a couple of shows? I was like, I'll make the song. I was like, oh, I'll be a part of this. I want to be a part of as much, because it's like, I, you know, especially, you know, it's for my culture, you know. It's like, I grew up watching Mexico. And I was like, dude, I'll do whatever, you know. So and I'm actually going on tour with them. So we're going to do a few games and, you know, we're doing some halftime shows. And yeah, I did the song for them and everything. I think the song was just like on the side. I was just like, they wanted me to do a voiceover of the commercial. And then after I sent them the voiceover, I also was like, I also made this song for you guys, you know, and they were just like, oh, this is dope. And then, you know, so that kind of just got thrown on top. And, but yeah, bro, like, you know, it's exciting because, you know, that's something me and my dad did, you know, when I grew up, we used to watch the games and it's kind of like, hey, Dad, check it out. You know, like, I'm going to be their official DJ, you know, and my dad was like, what? You know, that's like, it's wild. So yeah, man, I'm really honored and it's exciting because this is going to be different, you know? And every game is going to be like, these stadiums are massive. It's going to be like 100,000 people, you know? And it's, I get to be there and I get to watch the games and hype them up. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's wild. It's nerve-wracking too, kind of, because it's very different now. You know, like, it's not like a show. It's this time it's like I'm going to be like kind of like, you know, I recall some of the games. It's like I'm trying to remember what the DJs were doing. You know, it's like, I got to do that, you know?
The stands are going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, no, definitely. So being a long-time fan of the game, what is it like to be pairing up with La Selección Nacional de México and Intocable for this tour?
So it's wild because this is, like I said, this is something that, you know, I grew up watching it on TV and we've been to some of the games. I recall, you know, my dad, like, I remember my dad, I was little, you know, like my dad would like cry when they would win, you know, at the games and like, and it's crazy how it's like a full circle, you know, it's like, it's, all this hard work that you put in and like, you know, applying my culture to what it is that I'm doing that I love. And all of a sudden, like, these are the results that you get, you know, like you get to be a part of something like this. This isn't just like you're playing this club. Like, nah, you're a part. This is something everyone that from our culture, like we all like, you know, if I tell you I'm, you know, Mexico Nacional, you know, you're going to be like, you're going to recognize it. You know, it's something that we all grew up with and to me, that's a mad blessing. It's crazy. Like, it's unreal. You know, it's unreal. And every time, you know, like, I'm just like wowed by it. I'm just like, well, you know, it goes to show, you know, the hard work and it's just nonstop grind. It's just, you know, it gets you to these kind of places and that's just wild, you know? And like, if anyone, you know, if my kids ask me, you know, how'd you do it? I'm like, you saw me. I was up every day working, you know, I was up for working nonstop, you know? So. But it's unreal, man. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm the one that gets that amazing position. That's wild.
That's actually, you mentioned the grind, and the reason I'm asking this question because we talk a lot to comedians. So for like DJs, you guys perform every night. Like that's the way you guys get the recognition you guys get is by going to like different places. At what point did you realize that you're like, you got elevated, like it started going upwards, you know what I'm saying? Like where the venues started changing, where, you know, the different ease of the venues started changing, you know, the bills,
yes,
income started changing. Yes, like, when did you realize that?
So, okay. I've thought about this question, and I've thought about it. I still think about it today. And I don't think I have the correct answer, but I think there's many things that can that help me realize that. So making music, you know, in my room, you know, putting together beats and like singing into the microphone, and then going out to some other part of the world, and then having people sing those words back to me, you know, seeing that I'm connected with them, that right there, it's just like, okay, this is something else. I'm no longer just doing music. You know, I'm connected with these people. Whether it's through Spotify or YouTube, or it doesn't matter. We're connected. You know, when I started seeing people, you know, take signs that say like, play this song, you know, play that song. It's just like, when I first saw that, I was like, almost like, wow. You know, like, dude, like, that's my song. You know, they're talking about me, you know, that was when I realized, that this isn't just me playing a hobby, and I'm not just showcasing my talent up there. Like, nah, I'm connected with the people. And, you know, I got lucky to, that happened early on for me, you know, and I feel that it's because I really applied myself to what I did, you know, so whenever people really connected with my music, they were connecting with me. And, you know, people were able to see that through my videos, and, you know, and I feel that I got really lucky, man. I got lucky that people liked me, you know, and, early on, I did start seeing, you know, that I like to say that it's my music that people recognize. You know, my music is what people are connected to. I'm just, you know, I'm just here making it, you know, but I feel like when people say, like, you know, are you famous? I would say not me. I would say the music. I think music is very recognizable because that's what people connect to. You know, that's what you hear my music. And I feel like if you have the same frequency and the same, you can connect to it very easily, you know?
That's actually a really good answer to think about it that way. That he's not, you know, they're not connected with you per se, but your music, which is like something like.
Yeah. And I'm just enjoying the ride. I'm just like, I'm here. I'm just happy to be here. You know, I think what I do in the studio is the magic. I'm not the magician. I think whatever I've been blessed with, I think it's a bundle of everything. It's being inspired by my culture, being inspired by just life, you know, like just having a great time and then putting all that into music. I think that's what it is. That's the secret sauce. You know what I'm saying?
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, That Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
That's beautiful. I mean, I think that's a sign of a true.
Your family must be so proud.
Oh my God. My family, they're just like, every time we see each other, like, oh, let's get some pictures, you know? I'm just like, yeah. They're definitely proud. And I have a massive, I mean, I'm Mexican, you know, like, I have a massive family. And I'm like still meeting half of my family on the road, you know?
Look at that. So. That's amazing. Well, I wanted to mention really quickly, my son actually, he's a competitive dancer, professional dancer, my 11-year-old son. So we're just like your dad, always, you know, pushing to him for the best. And it's funny enough, the first time I heard about you was your collab with Elvis Crespo, Bailar. He won first place in 5 different competitions nationwide for your song.
No way.
Yes. And crazy. It was amazing.
Dude, that's so crazy because so that song was a big step for me.
Yeah.
I really wanted to bridge my world and the Latino world, you know? So I took like my favorite part about EDM, which is the very bounce, yes, very heavy, high energy. And then my favorite part about the Latino world at the time, which was merengue, because that was the peak of every party. You know, right, when you play Suavemente, that was when everybody was up to the seats. So I'm blending those two songs together. And it was funny because I didn't have Elvis Crespo in mind. I was just like, I'm going to make the song. And then my manager was like, who do you want to sing this? I was just like, Elvis Crespo, as a joke. Right? And then, but then we managed to get his contact, and he loved it. Elvis loved it. He had it recorded day, and I was just like, no way, this is actually gonna happen, you know? Like, you know, but that's so cool because Bailar, I feel that song has been part of so much in dance. A lot of people have danced to it, and I've seen so many videos. Half of the videos that I come across are like people dancing, you know? And I'm like, that's so cool because I know dance is also a form of art, and a lot of people express themselves in it, you know? And it's like two different worlds coming together, and like that's incredible. That's amazing.
Super incredible. I mean,
how old's your son now?
He's 11, and he did that when he was 9, so 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. That's and the amazing. Auditoriums went crazy. They went crazy when they heard that song. Everybody's like, oh my God. But I mean, just like in the collabs with Elvis Crespo, are you going to have any special guests for your halftime show?
I don't know about the halftime shows. I don't know what I'm allowed to do, but I'm going to try. I'm going to ask everything. I'm going to ask if I could do whatever I can. I know we're different cities, and I know different cities will call for different opportunities. But you know what? My album coming up, I do have like big collabs on that. I have like, I made a song with Tucanes de Tijuana, and
wow, yes,
yeah, dude. We just like, and they're stoked for it. Like, me and Mario, we text on WhatsApp, and he's just like, we got to make sure this music video is fire. We got to make sure, like, we go hard when we put this out. I'm like, I'm down. Let's do it, you know?
Yo, when that video comes out, you got to send it to us so we can pump it up.
100%. No, 100%. I mean, that song, the way it came out, is when I, you know, when we completed that song, I felt the same way when I completed my lot. I was just like, oh my God, I already know this has yet, like, this song is hungry for people to dance, you know, like, I just like it, you know.
I gotta tell you something. It's, you mentioned the numbers of these size stadiums. So like, let's say we're going to Madison Square Garden. It's like, holds like 40,000. I could be wrong on the number. When we talk about 100,000, you're talking about like back when, Queen was on stage and he's sitting there doing the chants, and there's like a river, like an ocean of people in front of you. Like, how does that feel from a magnitude perspective that for a halftime show, you're going to be literally rocking out 100,000 people?
Let me tell you one of the unique experiences I had as an artist, and it's something that not many artists actually experience. I went from like playing in front of 400 people, 200 people, to all of a sudden I played in front of 40,000 people, and then I went back to 200 people. And that was because one of my songs blew up in Australia. It blew up in Australia, and I got booked to close out this festival. It was after Skrillex and after Steve Angelo. And like, I was in the restroom. Like, I was nauseous, dude. I was like, I was super like nervous. You know, I was like, I could not believe I was about to go in front of this many people. The most I've done is 400 people. Right. And when I went up there, I did not pay attention to the crowd. I was way too nervous for the crowd. I paid attention just to what I was doing. Right. But there was a moment where I looked up, you know, and it was from the biggest song, the song that got me out there, and to hear them sing the words back to me, to me, when I got off that stage, all I kept thinking was just like, I want that. I want it. Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I want crowds like that. So it was as if life kind of gave me a taste. It was just like, hey, look, this is what you can get if you keep working, you know? So for me, like, that was such an incredible, like, sample, you know, that I came off that stage. I was just like, oh, that's it. That's it. Like, it's on, you know, I'm going for it. And there's nothing stopping me now. So I didn't really get to experience what it felt like to be in front of that many people, because I was like, dude, I mean, I was just like a fish out of water. I was just like so out of place. But now when I'm in front of that many people, like EDC is like 80,000 people. It's, you know, I get nervous when I start looking at people's faces individually, but it's kind of like you're playing in front of this massive monster of people, like one beast. And like the goal is to try to make that one beast dance. You know what I'm saying? And it's so cool because it's just massive. When you play a song and you just see that many people moving at the same time, jumping, you know? And like to get them to put their hands up and clap their hands, they're just like, no longer feels like 80,000 people. It just feels like one massive. Yeah. And it's cool though, because after you get off stage, you're just like, no, well, that was 80,000 people, you know? And that's cool because
just thunderous roar, man. Like it's
insane. It's insane. There's nothing like that feeling when I first go on stage and you just see like all the skin tones, everyone's just looking at you. You know, it was just like, wow, they're actually looking at me right now, you know? And it's just like, well, let's play some music, you know?
I have a humanizing question. Have you ever DJed an event where like nobody was into it?
Oh yeah, man. That's something that, you know, I recently did. When was I in Brazil? Like 2-3 weeks ago. I played my set, right? And then I played like an after party VIP. But it's like the VIPs are like, they're always too cool for school, you know?
That's like, different, yeah, VIPs. Yeah, I thought it was something like, I'm not even worried about the VIPs.
No. But you know, you're kind of just, I was kind of like, I'm here, you know, whatever, you know? But, you know, it's cool though, because those are always a challenge. You know, it's like, okay, y'all don't want to dance? All right, my goal is to make you dance, you know? And it's like, and it's cool to kind of get everyone by the end of the night, they are kind of bobbing their head. You're like, go, we won. You know, that's it. That's all I need, you know? But yeah, dude, in the beginning, you know, there's been people that have been shouting out the artists after me, you know, that my entire set, they'll just be shouting, you know, telling me to get off stage. But it's part of it, you know? It's part of it.
Same with like comedians and stuff like that. You got people who are turning around and like, they have off night.
I think that's it. I think that's all part of it, bro. Like, I think it's, you know, it sucks, right? It's like your face gets hot when you're just like, you don't want to be here. You're just like, I don't want to be here either.
It's like, I want to stop the step midway.
Exactly, just like, forget that. I'm just like, trust me, I don't want to be here either, man. Just stop, just, you know, just stop making me feel uncomfortable.
That's funny.
But
man, look.
I want to say that I've seen you in Vegas at least probably, once. Probably,
yeah. Vegas is...
No, you used to do pool parties, right?
Yes.
I think I've seen you years ago. It's been a while, but
yeah, I forgot what the Surrender pool party was called. What was... Is that Encore Beach Club? Yeah, Encore Beach Club. And then...
Oh yeah, I definitely saw you then.
Yeah, and let me know if you guys are in Vegas. Just let me know. And you know, there's a chance I'll be there too. And then I'll take care of you guys. Easy.
I think we're supposed to be going to, I think you have an event, or they're going to have an event here in LA at one point.
Oh, yes. The Palladium.
Yeah. So, and I think we're supposed to be going to that. So if we're there, we definitely got to meet up and we'll take a photo.
Yes, 100%. Dude, yeah. The Palladium is such a special show because, you know, it's like, it's the full circle, you know, I used to hand out flyers outside the Palladium and I used to imagine my name on that marquee. You know, and I remember that specifically. And I remember Palladium, to me, for some reason, it always felt out of reach. I was just like, nah, I'm dreaming. You know, that's for sure. I'm dreaming. There's no way.
I don't even know if I was even supposed to say that, but I just know that we're going to be hooking up.
Yeah, exactly. You throw it into the universe, and it happens.
I know that they're coming to LA, so it's just one of those things.
I would love to have you guys. That'd be freaking awesome.
So, man, look, this was absolutely amazing, man. I can't wait to see the halftime show. I can't wait to see the anthem that comes out. We'll definitely push it on our side when it comes out. I can't wait to play that. When you have the video, man, send it our way for your album.
Definitely. Yeah, of course.
Gotta slap it out.
Album, I think we're putting out the album, I think July 1st or something, and I'll definitely send it over. It's all kinds of, I got a collab with Ángeles Azules. It's crazy, man. I really, this album was definitely like, for me, it's my baby, you know, like I got to actually really express that side of me, you know, and it's,
that's very cool.
There's cumbias, there's cumbia rápida, cumbia lenta, there's more merengue, there's a lot of Latin stuff in there. And, you know, I'm really excited. And of course I'll send it over as soon as it's packaged with the bow ready to go. I'll shoot it over.
Well, Diorro, thank you for joining the show. Once again, everybody, make sure you subscribe to this channel. It's on YouTube, and make sure you listen to the podcast. We're available on every single podcast platform. Follow us at Latin Babble Show on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter is Latin Babblers, because we didn't get the O for some reason after the right before the W. So that's the, you know, we're going to keep saying it until Twitter changes that policy. And again, make sure you follow the new Wafi Media. So go to Todo Wafi everywhere, T-O-D-O, Wafi. And for Dioro, for Paula, for Daisy, for Raquel, and to everybody listening, we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera. Porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera.